everybody, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I probably should have mentioned to our guests that our intro is incredibly long. I keep forgetting. Jocelyn's not here tonight. She is actually in Anaheim for BlizzCon. I can't believe that it's already November, but here we are. Mike, back on the show? You've been on the show before.
For a call-in episode, I believe.
That counts, right? Well, now you're here as an official guest. BlizzCon predictions. Don't let anybody tell you that normally Bo Schwartz from Core would be here to do this, and he has actually gone to BlizzCon as well. So please don't go to BlizzCon, because I've already lost so many good people.
No promises. Maybe one day.
That's good. I joke, I kid, because BlizzCon is really awesome, and I know a lot of folks are really into BlizzCon. I wish I could go personally, but then I remember that there are tens of thousands of people there, and I'm not a big fan of crowds. So that's why I'm here. Possibly not why you're here, but you're here to talk about predictions, BlizzCon predictions, as is tradition on the Gamers Inn. We're going to do some predictions, and we're going to kind of break it down by category. And Blizzard, being the lovely company that it is, makes it super easy to fill an entire show. Also weird, lots of games came out. You may be wondering, when are you going to hear about Super Mario Odyssey? When are you going to hear about Assassin's Creed Origins? When are you going to hear about Fire Emblem Warriors? No one asked that, actually. I'm the only one playing that. But anyways, that'll be in the coming weeks. We're going to focus on Blizzard for a little bit, but I can say that those games are fantastic, and yes, I'm having a lot of fun with them. And Destiny 2 is really rad, so there's
You're lucky I pulled myself away from Destiny 2 to do this.
You're lucky I pulled myself away from Destiny 2. I will say, though, there is an A-Move clan in Destiny. It is by request and invite, so you can actually go in and join. I get a notification on my phone every time the clan pops up. There was a bit.ly link created. I think it's bit.ly/D2AMoveTV. But I could be wrong. If you actually go in-game or whoever else, you join a clan, search for it, request an invite. I get a notification. Garrett gets a notification, but he's in Anaheim, so bug me. We'll let you in the guild. Caps you at 100, but we've already hit level 2 in terms of our progression, and the awesome people in that clan who are playing much better than I have already unlocked a couple of legendary engrams for everybody, so that's really cool. So get in there, have fun. The community is definitely hopping. I don't want to give everybody, like, I should really be playing Destiny right now and not listening to the Gamers Inn, so we're going to move on. Let's talk predictions.
All right, I have my magic all-seeing sphere with me right now.
Perfect. Creepy.
All polished and ready to go.
Okay, so we're going to start with an easy one. There's a couple easy ones. Actually, I would say 3/4 of these are pretty easy. So
yeah.
We predicted it all perfectly. So StarCraft, I'll let you start. So what do you think about StarCraft?
I think, let's see, I've been kind of out of the StarCraft scene for a while now. But last time I popped in, they've had the co-op is so much fun.
Yeah.
And I think, is it easy to say that they're going to add a new hero for co-op? Because it seems like it's been kind of consistent with them adding them.
StarCraft, and this is why StarCraft's kind of an easy one. StarCraft has kind of fallen into this trap where, not necessarily like as bad a trap as Diablo, but a good middle ground where they've found a way to make money by continuing to develop the game in these co-op heroes and supporting the co-op, and they have their battle chests now to support the esports side of it. So continuing with the latter, I don't think they're going to add any new units. I don't think they're going to add anything new that would affect multiplayer. We're not getting any new expansions. We're not getting StarCraft 3. But new co-op heroes is definitely possible, and I could totally see that happening. Now, my hope would be that we get more story DLC like we did with Ghost, but
yes,
because Ghost felt farther along when they announced it. So last year, after Ghost finished, you could see them not like just going into the next thing and announcing something that wouldn't be out for a year, because that's what they've sort of gone to do now. Is Blizzard's moved away from announcing things 6 years in advance and really just announcing things that are going to happen in the next year.
Yeah. I could argue that it gives them more freedom with development, so people aren't just constantly like on their back about it. Instead, they have the freedom, they had the wiggle room to develop at their own pace.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how things go. But that's the other thing, too, is we're going to try to, like, move through these categories because some of these are going to be pretty beefy. Yeah. So StarCraft, we're locking it in. Co-op Heroes, done deal. Story right. DLC, hopefully maybe.
Before we move on, though,
yeah,
do you think we're going to get anything for the StarCraft 1 remake?
An acknowledgement. That's acknowledgement. About it. I think they'll talk a little bit about how well it did, if it did well, and whether that's something Blizzard wants to continue doing. In the research for this show, I did a little bit of BlizzCon news, and they actually, I guess, have a Classics team, and they don't have announcements for BlizzCon this year, so I could see them acknowledging the fact that it came out, and then whether it did well or not. I mean, they're not going to say it did poorly, but they'll talk if it did really well. And I think, it'll be interesting. It's an interesting experiment for Blizzard in remaking a game that came out almost 20 years ago. It's kind of fascinating to see a company do that. Not many do it well, and it's nice to see Blizzard on the good side of re-releases. So,
and I'm sure it's a challenge on their part.
Hmm. No, for sure.
Update, yeah.
To go back, especially with PC hardware, it's, you know, I guess it's a linear line in terms of the technology, I guess, they're using, but it can just get all wibbly-wobbly. It's not like going to console and back and, you know, an N64 to GameCube, all that fun stuff. It's a little more linear, but it's still a hassle. Now, what many would think is a big one for the Gamers Inn, Hearthstone. Jocelyn's not here. She would be able to probably talk about what Hearthstone's going to have at the show for about an hour. That show exists. It's called The Angry Chicken. You should go check it out. They probably have a ton of predictions for you. Personally, for me, you just look at the pattern with Hearthstone. They're going to have a new expansion. They've basically confirmed that, yes, you're going to have an unveil of a new expansion. Are you playing Hearthstone, Mike, at all?
I'm on and off, depending like if the expansions pique my interest or not. Mm-hmm. I invested in Mean Streets, and I kind of got burned with that. It wasn't my favorite expansion ever. So I kind of I didn't really invest too much in Frozen Throne. So, but the Death Knight thing was interesting because I think we all wanted Death Knights to be a new class. Instead, it was a card that transformed your hero. So, I don't know. It depends what the next expansion is, but it's definitely going to be an expansion. That's a guarantee. It's kind of a freebie.
If there was a bingo card for BlizzCon, no StarCraft, no Diablo, Hearthstone expansion is kind of your line. You know, you're good to go. Take it up to the front. Get your prize. In terms of what it's going to be, there's been hints of a pirate theme. You'll get a legendary gold card with your virtual ticket. So that's something to look forward to as well. There just isn't a lot of room for excitement with Hearthstone because they have kind of laid out. Now, there's excitement there, don't get me wrong, but they've laid out what they're going to unveil pretty much every BlizzCon because of the cycle they've created to support, you know, the esports side of it. So if we wanted to get a little crazy with Hearthstone, I know there are a ton of features that people have been asking for. What I would love to see with Hearthstone is, you know, a Switch version. It's totally not that crazy, but I think you could possibly look at the Switch as a platform to have Hearthstone on. You know,
I think Hearthstone has proved that it's very strong in the mobile world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think having when Hearthstone first went to iPhone and like mobile devices, I think is when it really, really blew up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Switch is an obvious next step. And if they can bring it to Switch, I feel like there's no reason to stop at the Switch and bring it to the other consoles. But Switch is definitely a contender.
Yeah, and I've seen the argument from the dev team against going to the Switch in that, you know, it made sense to bring it to mobile, like you said, because it expanded to people who didn't have PCs and Macs. Tablets expanded to people who don't have mobile phones. These days, I know a lot of senior citizens, well, grandmothers, that even sounded weirder. My grandmother and Ashley's grandmother don't own smartphones. They own tablets. And tablets are these new things, these new devices that you're getting people who don't want to use a computer or a mobile phone. Ashley's mom doesn't have a mobile phone, but she has an iPad. I mean, not that she's going to play Hearthstone, but she could if she wanted to. So that's the thing, is the argument is they have a small team, and do we want to like splinter a portion of it off to work on a version for a system that doesn't, that already has is covered by people with smartphones and tablets and PCs? And I see that argument. So as quickly as I say a Switch version would be nice, it's kind of like a crazy one. I don't like, Blizzard's very, you know, comfortable in the way they make games, and them coming to consoles, which by all intents and purposes hasn't been this huge boom for them, I don't see Hearthstone kind of doing that. It would be nice though to have a Switch version. I think having Hearthstone on the big screen with controller support isn't impossible.
I think the Switch is more kid oriented than an iPhone. So if they really want, if they want to target, you know, a younger audience, then because you know, Hearthstone's for all ages. I don't see any reason why, you know, a child could play it. I mean, couldn't play it. So I think they're trying to, if they're trying to target a more younger audience, I think the Switch is a good contender for that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's a good point. Like younger audiences, who don't necessarily have like a data plan or a connection that allows them to play Hearthstone out on the go. I know you'll still need a Wi-Fi connection, but if you have a Switch, you can play on your TV. It would be really neat for more of, and if you're looking for a different experience with Hearthstone, putting it on the Switch, putting it on consoles in general. I think the reason the Switch is so appealing is because of the handheld sort of on the go mentality. But I think the best part about Hearthstone, if it were to come to consoles, would be the big screen experience of being able to play the game with a group of people. Like, it would just make a lot of different uses interesting to try out with Hearthstone. You know, playing with friends on the couch and doing a game together. I know it's something you can do with a PC very easily, but a lot of folks just kind of like, they have their, you know, their iPad normal, they have their mini phone or their computer hooked up to a little monitor. Being able to have it on the big screen and have it support controllers so you can lay back and have a good time would be interesting.
Now you have to resist the temptation of glancing to the other side of the screen to see your friend's hand.
Yeah, well, if you were to do two-player, that wouldn't work. But, you know, you could do like a really cool big picture mode where your hand's on the phone, but the big screen is where all the action's happening. And you pull your hand on the phone, you flip it up. It's been done before. Again, you're pitching a use case for a small team that may not have not only the resources, but just the time to splinter focus off of the content that needs to be generated.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing Hearthstone fans are, they're rabid for more content. And they know they get it every 4 months, 3 months. Either way.
It's
very consistent. They've made a point of making it consistent. So we'll definitely be finding out about a new Hearthstone expansion very soon.
But just if Blizzard ever wanted to venture into VR or AR, I think the obvious contender would be Hearthstone. Talking about like new ways to consume content, because just, you know, putting on HTC Vive or something and just having the board out in front of you, that'd be really cool.
I mean,
and
you don't. Like in terms of AR, and the device they already use, which is iPhones and Android phones, they already do pretty good AR. It'd be interesting to see that. But I get the sense that if the Hearthstone team isn't interested in adding tournament modes and all that fun stuff that people are asking for, I don't feel like they'll spend time on these other kind of gimmicky applications like AR and stuff. But it'll be interesting. Usually we go in expecting an expansion and we ask for something new, but it's usually just the expansion. So, go check out the Angry Chicken. I'm sure they broke that down a lot better than we did. But now let's talk about Warcraft.
Yes.
This is a big one.
Yes, it is.
There's been some data mining. There's been some leaks. There's been some talking from the devs. There's also this clear indication that I think the patches have come to a logical conclusion in the story, or at least approaching that conclusion. Personally, I'm not playing Warcraft. An expansion announcement is something that people are hoping for. Certainly, if you don't get an expansion, I wonder what content bridges the gap, because when is the next time you talk about an expansion? They announced Legion at Gamescom in August,
yes,
like whenever they did, and then they detailed it further, and then it came out end of August, like a year later. So
mm-hmm.
That's my concern, is that I feel like WoW still hasn't hit that same content delivery as all their other games that need this content, fresh content, is that they announce it and then it's like, well, you need this now, but it's not going to be out for a year. And
yeah,
that can be frustrating for folks that are willing to pay $15 a month and not quit that. So what are your thoughts on an expansion?
I think we definitely get one. It would make sense with the usual timeline. It's been 2 years since Legion released, and
crazy.
That's, yeah, it feels like yesterday, you know. It
feels like a year ago. It feels like, it's weird. Legion came out, it must have been the same year as Overwatch, right?
It must.
Are you sure it was 2015?
Oh my gosh.
I don't
know. If it's been 3 years, I'm just going to get gray hair in 5 minutes. Oh, it's
definitely
not
been 3 years.
That'd
be crazy. I think Legion came out in 2015.
Legion released of August 30th of 2016.
It's only been a year and a half.
So that would make sense. I think if we got a release, I got an announcement at BlizzCon, give them half a year to finish the game. That would, I think, would that land them again in August?
I mean, theoretically, yeah. Around August.
That makes sense. So, you know, I think it makes sense if we get a release. We get an announcement for an expansion. What the expansion is the bigger question, because there has been a lot of talk of where is Jaina Proudmoore, the Alliance mage, sure, that everyone loves.
She's gone.
Because she's been missing. There was a period of time where she wasn't around. And then starting back in Pandaria, there's been talks of her turning evil, because we think maybe she got infested by the Shaw. Something happened and her hair got a stick of white in it, like a white streak. Mm-hmm. Over time, her hair has turned more and more white, and she hasn't been she hasn't been herself. She's been more like against the Horde. She's usually very like peaceful. She wants to find peace between both sides, but she seems more like at the Horde's throat. So there's been a lot of talk of something's happening to Jaina, and now we have to go find out what. And there is this. She has a background with her father being a sailor. I'm really light on that part of the lore, but apparently there's these isles where she comes from or something, and so they could find an expansion around that.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I think most people are hoping for, because I want an explanation of what's going on with Jaina. Why is she so moody all of a sudden?
Yeah, she's emo.
Yeah.
Is that the proper term?
I guess so. She's just going through that phase. She's listening to metal music now, you know?
She's a teenager in the Warcraft world. Is that what we're... That's what we're saying. No. I've seen, you know, hints at, you know, Kul Tiras or something.
Yeah.
Her father's still alive. Like, he didn't bite the dust. I didn't think he, I don't know. I mean, these are the things. There's so much that happens in World of Warcraft, and there's so much that happens outside of World of Warcraft that it can be tough to keep track of what's going on. And again, if you're looking for that in-depth stuff, you're going to go to For Azeroth podcast on the A-Move Network or the Instance or what have you. But here, I think the idea of an expansion coming out, and we're definitely not looking at, I highly doubt it would release this year. That is not going to happen. I think folks hoping that's the case, it's not going to happen. Spring, maybe. That'd be pushing it, but I think spring could be it. I mean, if you look at the slate for Blizzard next year, you're not looking at a lot of big releases. Everything's in maintain mode. So if Warcraft expansion is the only thing they put out in stores, that'd be a big deal. So spring, I think I could see spring.
I disagree with that.
You think, yeah, it's summer's too late though. Like, again, I'm not playing Warcraft, but fall, eh?
Yeah, like fall 2018, you know, because if you look at the past expansions, Legion was in August. What was the Draenor was in November. Mist of Pandaria was in September. It just seems that like the fall time of the year seems to be their release window. And if they differ from that, I don't know. I'll be startled. Like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. What is this Warcraft stuff?
There's flowers on the ground, and I have a Warcraft game in my hand. What is this foreign world?
Are you playing WoW right now, or?
I've kind of hopped in and out of Legion. Warlords really, really drained me because there was a few months where I just grinded the garrison hardcore.
Ooh.
And that killed me on the inside. And ever since then, I've been a bit more flaky on World of Warcraft than usual. I've enjoyed Legion. I got the max level, and I just leveled I think my rogue to 110 as well. My main's a shaman. So, and I really, my favorite part of Legion, the story was okay. I enjoyed the story, but my favorite part was the world scaling, and how like you don't have a guided path to where you have to level through. Instead, you can pick a zone and it's at your level, it stays at your level. And I thought that was amazing. I loved it so much. And I really think in the next expansion, I really hope they apply that to the entire world, because that would just be a complete game changer. Because there are zones in Azeroth and in Wrath of the Lich King that I absolutely love, and especially the Red Ridge Mountains in Azeroth and in Kalimdor, where kind of Garrosh leads you to this campaign, and you end up dropping like an arcane bomb at the end of it, and like you basically start in an army and you rank up, and it's a really fun storyline. But with heirlooms and guild perks, I way out level. I just stopped getting experience like a third into that storyline because I level too fast. And if I could just keep playing through the stories I love regardless of my level, that would be amazing. Because one of my favorite things to do in World of Warcraft is level alts. Because I love the story and getting abilities and things. So I really hope they apply level scaling to the entire world.
Okay.
Also, I think we get a stat squish because I'm seeing tanks with like 800,000 health. I think it's only like an amount, a certain amount. Well, what am I trying to say? It's only. Anyway, we'll eventually get a stat squish, and I think this expansion's going to be it.
Yeah, I can see that, and I could see there being a stat squish. I could see definitely like a new expansion having, you know, this new world to explore, continuing the do what you want, when you want, what area you want to go to. I can see that continuing.
Yeah. I don't see how to go back from that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't be able to. It was like the what was the thing they added in Warlords? It was the garrisons. Like you said,
garrison, yeah.
There was a way you couldn't go back from that. You couldn't offer this cool thing and then not double down on it, but make it better. And they did, and they added the app, which was what people wanted. Oh, I want to do it from my phone, and that was amazing. And they added that. It was awesome. So to announce global level scaling would actually be really cool. In that's exactly what they should have did in Cataclysm. You know, when they redid the world, and it's like, oh, I want to go back and experience all this, but I'm just going to one-shot everything. And level scaling actually might do something really bad for a lot of those folks that wanted to do transmog and go back and kill things, everything in one shot, just to get that one piece of armor, farm that one piece of armor. So it would be interesting to see how they implement that, right? Like, do they kill that side of things? Do they do like the time walking stuff where if you want to go back in, yeah, you can one shot it, but with level scaling, you get those rewards, but better. It'd be interesting to see what they do there, because they have that technology. It might be too complex to apply it to the old world, but it might be that extra new feature that the game needs to keep it fresh. And you know, how many expansions, it can be tough for new players to come in, and that boost to 100 is a nice shortcut, but you still might want to go back and experience the old world type stuff. So boost to 100, then go back and still be able to experience everything, because yeah, it's just, it'd be something really cool to offer. So that's a good one. We'll definitely get a WoW expansion. I could see them kicking off the presentation with Warcraft, because I think Warcraft's in a good spot to have the opening cinematic. But you're right, like, it's definitely second half of 2018 that you're gonna see it. I don't see it happening anytime sooner than that, but I don't know what that means for the people who are actually playing WoW. How did they feel that they're not gonna have new content for 8 months?
Yeah, that's gonna be, I don't know. See, and that's, I don't know how they balance, like, that's a decision they have to make, is, you know, are we gonna rush development of our game, or are we, because at some point they have to, like, decide where to put their resources. Like do we just keep producing content for our current expansion, or are we gonna move some guys off and put them on the new one? So, but yeah, that's all.
It'll be interesting to see. I think Warcraft's definitely one to watch out for. That's probably gonna have, I would say, the biggest news at the show. In terms of the grand scheme of Blizzard things, I think Warcraft's going to be the biggest show. And, you know, all the other games will have their news, but I think Warcraft's going to be the one that people run out of the room to talk about. You know,
somebody that or Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch could do some fun things. I mean, we'll definitely get around to that. We have a couple more to go. But let's talk about a patron ad. If you want to be also a patron of The Gamers Inn, go to patreon.com/TheGamersInn. Simon has this to say: Weekly News Desk is a podcast all about the geek news this week. Join your two Knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. Find them on iTunes or at weeklynews.com. So you can also connect with everybody, the TGI community, at bit.ly/TGI Discord. Join our Discord. That's where all the fun happens. Constantly talking about fun stuff, mainly Destiny and Fire Emblem. But hey, if you're a fan, get in there. So continuing our BlizzCon predictions now.
All right.
I think that we're heading into what could be, again, some, you know, quick mentions and go forward, because there is a pattern here with their free-to-play games. Heroes of the Storm usually get 2 to 3 heroes each BlizzCon. One's usually pretty funny, funky, available right away. We got Heroes 2.0 this year, maybe some additional changes to that, or some quality of life type stuff, but I don't see anything going too crazy here. I think they're going to continue that path.
They're going to come out on stage and be like, it's Heroes 3.0 now.
I think that'd be a bit too soon. I think 2.0 is doing really well. And,
oh yeah, it's awesome.
You know, here's my prediction here. During the main presentation, the opening ceremonies, trailer for new heroes. In the deep dive, you go deep dive on the heroes they announced, plus here's some quality of life stuff we're working on. And I'm sure there's been stuff that's been announced that hasn't been released yet, so hardcore Heroes fans would be able to recite that off the top of their head. But really, with 2.0, I would just like to see them take a look at what's happened since 2.0's launch, and just refine it and look at the, you know, feedback from players. And I hope to see them addressing some of the concerns people have with loot boxes and, you know, the abundance of content that's available in those loot boxes to kind of water down the skins, the cool stuff that they're offering. But new heroes, definitely. Now, I put in here possibly a map. Now, you're saying they released one in April.
Yes.
I don't think...
Hanamura came out back in April.
Oh, so there was one after that. There was the Robot Industries one.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Definitely, maybe you're right. No new map, because that map just came out like a month ago.
Yeah, so, or at least a trailer for one, maybe.
Maybe.
I can see that.
Yeah, but I think this is a pretty simple one, unless you have more to add to just.
Are you speculating where the heroes come from? Because we just got. We just got two heroes from Overwatch. So I think, like, that's really the only, if you want to get really specific, we can do that. But too, like Heroes is again, it's another gimme. It's like Hearthstone where we know what we're gonna get. Unless you really want to speculate. Is there any life improvement things that you specifically hope they talk about?
Not really. I mean, official like clan support in game would be nice. I think that's needed. I don't think Blizzard's been very good at offering clan support outside of World of Warcraft. Clan support would be really nice. Tournament support, again, on top of Hearthstone, people have been asking that for quite a while. Do we get it at BlizzCon? No. Do they talk about it? Probably. Blizzard's been very good, especially at these panels, of not worrying about talking to journalists. They're talking to the gamers. So when the gamers ask a question, they give a very honest answer. And Blizzard's usually one to be not as PR-y at their own event, BlizzCon. I find the developers are very more willing to kind of give their honest opinion. But I would love clan support, honestly, because I know the Amove community would really benefit from a clan, not just like a channel where people can chat. That's one part of being in a clan. The other part is actually just, you know, actually having an identity to attach that, not just, oh, I joined a chat channel and that makes me part of the Amove clan. I don't think that's how it works, you know.
Yeah.
But if we want to predict Heroes, we do have a little bit of time. Diablo is just going to be we're done. But I could see there being, in terms of Heroes, I think we'll get our first Hearthstone hero at BlizzCon, because they had that cinematic that was at Gamescom establishing characters associated with the world. I know we've always had the Innkeeper, and that's an honest to God, easy first start. But Heroes has never really been one to do the easy option first. They usually like to go a little off the beaten path, then circle back. So I don't know what Hearthstone character would be, but I could totally see them doing a Hearthstone character for Heroes and making a big deal about it. Coming back to Warcraft, probably. There's a lot there that hasn't been touched.
They have so many characters from Warcraft they can bring in.
Yeah.
But going back to Hearthstone real quick, when I went to CreateCon, I pitched this on the Angry Chicken CreateCon episode. But I really want if they bring in the Innkeeper as a hero in Heroes of the Storm, what he should do is have some sort of mechanic where he can like summon minions using cards. You know?
That'd be really cool.
That would be like, that sounds like so much fun. Just be like, oh, like, you know, your resource is maybe a deck or like a hand, and you can like summon them for certain scenarios. That always sounded like fun to me.
So do you think it'd be random, like RNGesus? People would be like, oh, randomness killed me. Like, I didn't pull my card when I needed it. Like, that'd be really weird, wouldn't it?
Maybe. It does sound like Hearthstone, though.
It does.
No, I think it would have to be... Or how about this? You have a hand, right? You have a hand of cards. And instead of picking talents, you can pick cards. I don't know. It'd be difficult, but they could find a way. But I think just like picking one of the characters, let's say like the Innkeeper, and telling him like, oh, he has a sword, he has these abilities or something. I think that'd be too easy. And like you said, they go off the beaten path. So I think it would have to be some sort of card mechanic. I really think so. And I think that'd be so much fun.
Yeah. I think it would be a lot of fun too. And you know, they've done weirder things with characters that affect the game without actually being on the map, like Abathur. You know, back in home base and controlling his way. Ragnaros with his wave clear. So the Heroes team is definitely available to do that kind of fun stuff. My computer is deciding to do fun things. Always good on a live show. I think that's certainly possible. Hearthstone being in Heroes of the Storm, it's a big deal. That'd be something they could tout as a big announcement. Diablo, there's news out that there's going to be no news for Diablo. Not anything major. So again, like, they could be addressing the fact that people want to see Diablo 4. or a Diablo 3 expansion, I am one of those folks. The chances of that happening at BlizzCon is zero. They've already stamped that out. Now, you had mentioned in notes here that they just released the Necromancer. It was this year. And they announced him at BlizzCon last year. And that was kind of a big deal. It was kind of like, hey, we're going to have a new class. It's going to be really cool. He's playable on the show floor. It kept Diablo alive.
Yeah, it gave us hope that Diablo was... something was stirring, you know. It hadn't gone completely cold yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the cool thing about that is they could continue that because there is this catalog of heroes from Diablo that they could pull from to bring back to Diablo 3. Do you have thoughts on another class they could add that you'd be hoping to see?
Well, I haven't played any other Diablos. Diablo 3 was the first one. So I did some digging and I found that Diablo 2 had some classes called the Druid and the Assassin. From what I read, the Assassin sounded like a fun melee character. The Druid sounded pretty cool, that he uses like the power of nature and can summon beasts to fight for him. That sounds like fun, but it also sounds similar to the who's the voodoo dude? I forgot his name.
Magumbo. What's his name? I don't know why I call him Magumbo.
Yeah, the twitchy guy.
Yeah, the twitchy guy, Nazebo from Heroes, but he's the I almost said warlock.
Voodoo doctor? No,
it's the witch doctor.
Witch doctor. Okay.
You got me halfway there. Thank you.
There we go. Teamwork. Yeah. But he sounds similar. Like the druid and the witch doctor sound similar as they summon things to fight for them. Or at least that's how I played the witch doctor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are options. Like they said that there's no big news. So, like that might give us wiggle room for classes. But, you know, they didn't say no news. So there's a little bit of hope.
I think a new class isn't like when they say no big major news, that's an expansion or a new game. I think a class falls in line with we're keeping the game alive, we're giving you the ability to buy it. And honestly, when the Necromancer came out for $15, I thought that was a decent deal. Mm-hmm. You know, for a game that you haven't dropped money into since 20 whenever, it's been a while. Reaper of Souls came out a year after Diablo 3, so it was pretty quick. And we haven't had anything since until the Necromancer. So a new class, definitely see that happening. I know I was listening to The Instance, and Patrick had said that there's news out there that they plan to do Necromancer and at least one more class. And I think the Necromancer did well. So in terms of Diablo, I can see them touching on the Necromancer and then saying, hey, we have plans for the future and here's what they are. But it's not going to be a new expansion. Now,
yeah. Necromancer could have been this like testing the waters to see how people were, how receptive they were to getting new classes in the game.
Yeah, and I think people were pretty good about it. I think $15 was a good mid-range between the Blizzard tax and just way too inexpensive. $15 was right in the middle. Like $10 felt like, wow, this is a really good deal. You're kind of like leaving money on the table here, Blizzard. And $20 to $25 felt like, okay, Blizzard, you might want to chop a couple dollars off there. So we'll see. I hope it did well because honestly, I do like the idea of popping back into that game every once in a while to try out a new class, especially for me having not played Diablo 1 or Diablo 2 very much in a lot of these classes. You know what would be really cool is to see them make a completely new class. I know that would probably be too much to ask considering you kind of want to save that stuff for major iterations, but testing out older ideas with a class addition as terms of DLC, that's a pretty smart move from the Diablo team. So
That classify as big news though? See, that's the thing, like it's kind of, there's no real definition for big news. So other than the obvious expansion or new game, what about a remake, say like a Diablo 2 remake?
Maybe. I mean, you know, last year they said that they were celebrating Diablo's X anniversary with this Diablo mode where you go in and replay the original Diablo in Diablo 3. I could see them doing something else like that again because they did say it would be a yearly event. So maybe they touch on it again because I think it started at the end of December. Can't remember. But I could see them doing something like that again, and that would fall under the not major news category. I think as long as they're safe, as long as they don't announce an expansion or a new iteration of Diablo, and that would be under the major. But the big one that I don't think I left to the end on purpose, but might work out in our favor, is Overwatch.
Overwatch.
It's not only Blizzard's biggest release, biggest recent release, but it's also, I think, the biggest elephant in the room in terms of their success. Like, since World of Warcraft, Overwatch is this huge thing. Everybody loves it. It's popular on we mentioned consoles before. It's popular on consoles. It's popular on PC. It's doing really well.
Extremely well.
Like, almost to a point that even everybody was surprised. I'm sure Blizzard was surprised as well. This is now the year and a half mark, 2 year mark of its second BlizzCon being out in the wild.
Still so young.
It's still, yeah, still very young. And, you know, I've seen, in terms of, we'll get the easy one out of the way, in terms of the pattern, a new character is to be expected. There's been no hints, from what I understand, as opposed to last time when they would drop hints as to a new character would be coming. There's been none of that. None of the shitty AR or ARG type stuff, you know.
Yeah. I know for Sombra, felt like forever.
Yeah.
That the lead up to her.
I think they learned their lesson on Sombra to kind of, you know, tone it down a bit in terms of their weird HTML hacking and Reddit floundering. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then they had Asyra in March, and she was kind of just like, here's a blog post, kind of connecting it, and then here she is, you know. And then Doomfist was the same thing, kind of additions to maps. As far as I know, there's really been nothing for Overwatch lately, but in terms of hints. But yeah, character announcement, probably a new cinematic.
Gamescom, we got a lot of cinematic because, you know, obviously they were saving all the big news for BlizzCon. So I'm actually kind of doubtful on new cinematic because we got we had a Maze cinematic.
Oh yes.
For Gamescom. So I mean, unless they had two of them in the pipes. Like, I kind of doubt that we'll get one this time, but I think character is very certain, just because, like, you look at the old pattern, I mean, the pattern so far, you know, Ana was in July, Sombra was November, and then Doomfist was in July.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like the pattern's still, like, the game's still young, so it, like, unlike Heroes of the Storm, where they've had several years to kind of, like, this is our pattern of cranking out new heroes.
Sure.
You know, it's still kind of early to tell, but you know, if the pattern holds, new character in November would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's certainly where people are at, I think, in terms of this game, is that they've expected a new hero about every 4 months, which is crazy when you put it into perspective of every 4 months heroes for Overwatch, every 3 weeks for Heroes of the Storm. That is insane to me. And I don't even know the numbers. I'm sure the Overwatch is a little more complex than Heroes of the Storm in terms of balancing, but still, it's kind of crazy to see Overwatch kind of lag behind. So obviously Overwatch is doing, that team is doing something else on top of developing new heroes. So do we get the story content? I want my story content in the game. It's one of my biggest complaints about Overwatch. Me too. And is this the year we get that?
You know, I don't know, because I feel like it seems that the team's primary goal is, you know, BP content. You know, I think in their eyes, they're giving us enough story content through other mediums like comics and books, graphic novels, actually, and those kind of things. Actually, going back to your character comment, I think the big difference between Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm is, I think Heroes of the Storm, there's already characters to pick from, and just translating them into the game. Where Overwatch has this backstory, and they have to create characters for the game, kind of see where they fit. So I think maybe that might streamline the process for Heroes of the Storm a bit.
Oh yeah,
but I would really, really like to see a new defense hero, because Ana was a support character. Orisa was a tank character. Doomfist, Sombra are both offensive. I think it's time for a defensive character. Hmm. And I don't know how they would fit in, you know, because like we already have two turrets with Torbjorn, the dwarf man, and Bastion, the turret. So we already have two characters that kind of sit in place and defend something. You know, lobbing grenades is Junkrat, and he just got a rework actually.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd be okay if we got another support hero under one condition. Is if they move Symmetra to defense. Because at this point, she's a defense character. In my opinion, she started off as you know, support because she would give shields and stuff. But now she just feels like she does so much damage that she feels defensive. But I think we need a defense character. Like the other rosters, like defense feels so small on that screen right now because everyone else is expanded.
Yeah.
But
I think, you know, I don't even know if they've revisited the categories that characters fall into and to see some jump to different categories based on balance changes and reworks would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where that hero falls, what side of the conflict is he on, he or she is on, would be interesting. And I fully expect to see that hero, you know, whomever it is, show up and be playable on the show floor, getting some sort of cinematic in-game cutscene, have you. But for me, my biggest concern with Overwatch is just as it continues to be this multiplayer game, I only play in dribs and drabs. I'm not going to go in there and experience it. And I realize, again, we've touched on this with pretty much every Blizzard announcement, is that it's not a moneymaker to drop hours and millions of dollars into a single player portion. If it can't sell loot boxes or encourage people to play endless hours in trying to earn those loot boxes, it doesn't fit within the Overwatch business model. So I don't necessarily fault Blizzard for not doing it, but it is a little bit of a bummer.
Okay. What if I just kind of had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, like it's a lot of hours can have to be put into a single player experience. But what would you pay? How much would you pay for a single player expansion?
Oh,
full maps, story, maybe like a unique character or something that, you know, you won't unlock in PvP, but like you can experience. Like how much are you willing to pay for a PvE experience? And I'm not talking like Junkenstein or Escort to Payload, as you
know.
You're
talking about a story, like a story with characters, VO, basically playing the cinematics that they offer us.
I mean,
if we're talking Blizzard dollars, we're probably looking at a full price game. Like the cost of a Legion expansion being $50, I could see it being a $50 expansion if they were to offer that. I mean. Yeah, $50. I could see people having to pay $50 for that. I'd be fine with that. Because it would be a completely new game, really. It would be completely different. And instead of making a sequel, it's just a here's a story expansion. And then that expansion then affects what's happening in the multiplayer. But what I honestly think will happen is we'll get the new hero and they'll double down on the PvE events that they've been offering in-game. I think we'll see the first sniff of PvE done in a very, you know, cinematic way at BlizzCon. Like, I think that's their big move, is just here's the next PvE event and it's straight up continuing the story. It's not some like one-off little you know, what if scenario or a in the past scenario. I think we get here's the continuation of the story of Overwatch, because the story of Overwatch has kind of hit this standstill, right? Whereas the story is they were a team before, they were disbanded when they were no longer needed, bad guys came back, and hey, we're getting the team back together. And that's kind of where it ends, you know? The story hasn't continued past that. Like, what's happening? Why are they fighting again? Who's the big bad? Is it just the heroes? Is there something else going on? So I could see that being the next big deal, is to continue the story forward, not just have it be we're all heroes, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I could see that happening. So
yeah, and they kind of set it up for continuing the story, because now that Doomfist has entered,
yeah,
that gave us a gateway to Talon, which was like this evil corporation, but it's evil Overwatch. It's evil Watch. Yeah. So we now have a bad guy. We have like, oh, that's the bad guy. We're the good guys. Mm-hmm. And now they can play between those two sides with some sort of future story mode. If they went back into the past, I think they could leverage do you remember the Bastion short?
I do, yep.
You remember how he's trudging through that field and obviously some sort of battle happened there? They're, you know, they're dead Bastions all over the field, you know. So they have that to explore with. I could see them taking Junkenstein's Revenge, that defense format, and give us some story using that and whatever happened in that field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that looks like it could easily be like this, like a wave defense. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, oh, what happened in this town? Why was it attacked? Like, who was there? Who was responsible for either the victory or the fall of the town? And that'd be something cool to play with. You know, because so like they can either go two directions. They can go forward and tell us what's Talon up to, or they can go back and say what happened during the, was it the Omnic Crisis?
Yeah, Omnic Crisis, yep.
Yeah, so they have lots to explore, and it really comes down to like what do they want to do.
Yeah. And you know what, I'm fine with putting aside my need for single player content and having PvE story content. I would just like to see them. They dabbled with the story by going back to Tracer's first mission and having that be a PvE event. I love that. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see them go forward and not worry so much about selling skins, but telling a story in-game. You can still sell me loot boxes. I don't care. It's fine. But it'd be really cool to see like Overwatch 2 just be this PvE event that then offers, here's a bunch more skins and character outfits for your favorite heroes, but not based on Christmas or the past, but based on the progression of being a hero, like new,
yeah,
just new outfits, new cool stuff. So whether we get that or not, I have no idea. I know there's been, you know, some hiring, some job postings for working in a first person engine. A lot of people, you know, bring that towards Overwatch, but we'll see. The done deal is a new hero. I think we're at that point, and I can see that being what people want again, keeping content fresh. But before we end the show, we have an other category. We could go crazy with this, but I do want to limit it to one per person. So
one per person.
I want to hear your thoughts on an other
Okay.
Maybe I'll say two, because I have actually, I was like, I have mine in the notes. Then I remembered another one that's kind of a little weird, but I want you to go first. Like, what's your first other?
My first other would have to be whether or not we're going to get a Warcraft sequel.
Hmm.
Because that came out in 2016. It's only been a year, but they might at least announce that they're going to make one or not, because like the movie did okay here in the States, but it did gangbusters over in China. So I think it did well. I think it made its money back, and I would love to see a second one. I loved the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It wasn't like, you know, quality grade A movie. There were some things I kind of like. I was like, oh, this could have been better. This, you know, but I loved it just because I'm a Warcraft fanboy, you know.
It was Warcraft on the big screen, which to us as gamers and fans of Warcraft and Blizzard's work is just a treat to see.
Oh, yeah.
And was it a great movie? No. Was it, was it an amazing movie? Not really. Was it a good movie? Yeah, it was a competent from video game to movie adaptation. A lot of folks are asking for it has to be the best, and I don't think it needed to be the best. And like you said, there was a couple things, you know, that I would tighten up and change and refocus. But in terms of the acting was good. The guy who played Medivh, that would probably be my thing I'd change. I just don't think he played a really good Medivh. I don't know. Medivh shouldn't be. He just came off as a bit of a whiny teenager. I don't know. It felt weird to me that Medivh would be so not curmudgeon-y, but like, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. It didn't feel like a good medieval. Anyways, off topic.
Yeah.
Whether we get a sequel or not, the timing would line up. I mean, Duncan Jones, who is interested in doing a sequel, is wrapping up his Mute film, which is something he wanted to do before he went back to Warcraft.
Yeah.
I mean, whether we get a Warcraft sequel or not, if you don't hear it this year and you don't hear it next year, I would probably imagine we aren't getting one.
Exactly.
This year might be too early in terms of going back to the whole, like, not wanting to talk about stuff that's not coming for... Because if it... So the first one took a while to get made, and if they announced it here, you wouldn't see it in theaters. So I won't think you would see a Warcraft 2 come out until 2019, maybe 2020. So you can kind of see their ability. There is some leeway there where they don't need to start talking about it right away, but knowing whether it's something that they want to do or at least looking into would be nice fan of seeing things that I love continue. And I despise it when a company just drops something like a hot potato. And I think not making a sequel to the Warcraft movie would be dropping it. Maybe not a hot potato, but a lukewarm potato, you know?
All right.
That's where I'm at. I would think this year we kind of get a first hint at what the think tank's been up to. So they did a bunch of hiring. They moved a bunch of people off of teams. You know, Hearthstone had a lead move to the think tank. Heroes, their old lead moved to the think tank. So it'd be really interesting to see if they've got a project ready to be shown. And there's been some job postings for a mobile MMO RTS. Do we see something like that come out? Is that the continuation of StarCraft? Is it something new? I just want to keep this one super vague. I would love to see something from the think tank, because they made it a big deal at last year's BlizzCon and said, like, look, this is a new thing we're working on. This, you know, looking at the success of Hearthstone, we want to kind of do it again. And this is the way we're going to do it, with a small team, very focused, trying different things, and getting something out of that team. Not even getting it, but having a hint that that team is still going strong and here's our first look at something cool. I would really love to see that. But I realize that sounds super vague, but there's really nothing else to say on that matter. Do you have a second other thingamajig to throw out?
I can't imagine. To be honest, I'm not really that excited if they move to mobile, because I don't play mobile games very often. For others, I can't.
Well, I had one pop into my mind, if you want to have a second. So Blizzard, they just... I expect Destiny 2 to be mentioned in some fashion in the
open. Oh, yeah.
You're going to get that. It's a big deal being on the Blizzard launcher. I think they're going to address that. They're going to... At the very least, they'll say, hey, Destiny 2 launched. It was a good thing. Here's a photo of Cade visiting our office. Bare minimum. But what I would love to see is them say, like, Destiny 2 has done well on PC. Here's something new for Blizzard fans to take a look at in terms of Destiny 2. And I think that'll be pretty much it. It's just some mention of Destiny 2. It's not a crazy prediction, but I think it would show Blizzard's willingness to acknowledge, you know, a fellow partner that just launched. Like, they made a big deal about it on Twitter. If it wasn't mentioned at all, I would be really surprised and actually a little worried.
Really passive aggressive.
it would be worrisome for it to not be mentioned whatsoever. It might even go as far to kind of bug me a little bit, because I already think Blizzard's a little hooty snooty. So if they didn't mention it, it'd be a little weird to me.
And I think they're going to mention it. I can see them being like, oh, it was a big success on our client. And if any Destiny 2 news is mentioned, I think it's going to be by someone from Bungie. Like, I don't think Blizzard's going to go out of their way and like announce things for Destiny. I think they're going to, if there's going to be some serious talk about Destiny, they're going to invite Bungie onto the stage.
I could see Bungie coming out on stage to acknowledge Destiny 2 as a thing on a Blizzard platform, because it is a Blizzard platform. That would be more in line. And, you know, we got the Curse of Osiris announcement at the PlayStation event. So I was kind of thinking maybe they would pop that at BlizzCon, but they chose to do it with PlayStation due to their exclusivity DLC thing. So, Yeah, bare minimum an acknowledgement, maybe a little bit above having Destiny, a Bungie employee come out and kind of be like, hey, this works really well. Here are the cool things we're doing with Blizzard to continue making Destiny 2 really good on PC. But that might be a bit of a stretch because the opening ceremony is only an hour and they got a lot to cover. And most of that is covered by, you know, trailers and stuff. So that will probably do it for our predictions, unless you had something else pop into your head. We're kind of running out of time, but anything else coming to mind?
I can't imagine anything else.
We kind of covered the whole gambit. Like, honestly, we were pretty thorough. So that's our BlizzCon predictions. Lock them in. Tune in on the third for the opening ceremony, where I believe a lot of our predictions will be applicable. So tune in there and then watch BlizzCon for as much as you want. I don't know. Check it out. A lot of cool esports. I was watching some Heroes of the Storm. Looks like a lot of fun. Now, but I do want to say, though, Extra Life is an event that's happening this weekend. Is Extra Life proper on the 4th. We do have a lot of team members who are playing on the 4th. I actually have a handy list here. We'll pull it up here. So of our team members that are looking to play on the 4th, the 4th being the proper Extra Life game night, we're doing our full stream on the 11th due to Jossum being at BlizzCon. But, you know, Servotech is saying he's going to go live on the 4th around 3 p.m. Eastern. Jim Bean will be streaming starting at 8 p.m. And we'll be doing our BlizzCon Extra Life stream at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. So Jim, Servotech, Josh, and Anna are all going to hop in at some point. Those are all super cool people who are on our Extra Life team. All the links, all the times you can find at gamersinpodcast.com/extralife. And if you're looking to skip right to a donation, which we would love, go to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2017. So again, some of the team and I will be streaming November 4th on Amove TV. You can check that out starting at 8 p.m. Probably playing a lot of BlizzCon-inspired games. Probably talking a lot about what happened at BlizzCon, but we're going to start with StarCraft Co-op, move into some Heroes of the Storm, play some Overwatch, and all in all, just have a good time while we raise money for various Children's Miracle Network hospitals around the world. So, Extra Life, it's a thing that's happening right now, and it's crazy how quickly it's approaching. So be sure to tune in and support this fine initiative. One more patron ad before we close out. This one comes from The Geek Review. The Geek Review is a podcast that reviews everything and anything for an honest consumer review. The Geek Review can be found on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Discord, and at thegeekreview.podbean.com. Mike, that's going to do it for the show. Why don't you take some time to let the fine listeners know where they can find you on the internets?
On the interwebs, you can find us at bluecowradio.com, or if you want to find the College Gamers podcast, where me and my college buddies talk about video games, you can find that at the College Gamers podcast. Like I said, it's on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, so go check that out.
Cool. College Gamers podcast. And we're still doing the Monday after BlizzCon, right? I'm going to be on the show?
Yes, we're going to see how well our predictions hold up, and Hopefully, they go well.
So, yeah, I probably should have confirmed with you before I said that out loud. But, yeah, so I'm glad I was correct. This is our sealed envelope podcast. All of our predictions are kind of noted in the notes. And then on Monday after BlizzCon is over, we're going to come back and kind of take a look at that. But that will be at or on the College Gamers podcast. So,
yes,
definitely tweet out a link when it goes live. So check that out. Have a great BlizzCon, everybody who's there. If you're listening to my voice while in Anaheim, we're jealous. As much as we made it out to sound like we were cool not going, we're actually not.
Incredibly
jealous of you guys going.
A problem.
It's turning into a problem. If I weren't so busy, it would definitely be a bigger problem. But have fun, be safe. Play lots of cool Blizzard games that I'm not going to be able to touch for at least the next 6 months because they won't come out anytime soon. So, and you know, we look forward to you returning. If you're not at BlizzCon, check out a lot of the Extra Life streams that are going to be happening this weekend, including some Gamers In team members, and tune into our BlizzCon stream at 8 o'clock on the 4th. I super look forward to that. So Mike, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you want to visit us on the web, you can go to gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken for Azeroth, Embrace the Spoilers, and Heroes Forge. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can find myself at R. Murphy, Jocelyn at Joss Plays, Mike at Blue Cows with a Z, and don't forget to follow the show on The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found at youtube.com/amovetv. And finally, email your predictions. Lock them in now for the 4th, info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thank you so much for watching, listening, supporting, and we'll talk more next week. Bye, everybody.
Later.